All right. So, last time we learned, which Mr. Rudman pointed out was about a little bit over a month ago. So we discussed we're still discussing the intro paragraph to Kedusha. We discussed Kishim Shemakdishim Osobi Shmeim Arum. We discussed the idea of the kedusha of the malachim versus the kedusha of the versus our kedusha, and which one comes first. So, I'm going to talk about one last point this morning in terms of the introduction to kedusha, and then we'll learn hopefully start with kadosh, so the actual body of kedusha. So the last thing we want to talk about before we get to kadosh, the last line we say that kishim shemakdishim osobi shmeim arum kakazvaya anuyecha, that we're doing it the way the angels do, as it says in the Torah, and then we start as it says in the Nevi'im, and then we start the quote of kedusha from a few words before the actual Kedusha, right? The actual Kedusha is Kadosh. But we start our quote from Nevi'im from a few words before that. We start with Vikara Ze El Ze Ve'amar. We start with this point that the malachim they call out to each other. So this is getting thrown into the quote here. This is an important part of the description of their Kedusha. So the malachim, they call out to each other. We mentioned already one idea about this, but just another idea that the malachim, they call out to each other so that their kedusha is done with kavod and it's done together. That kedusha requires yichud, kedusha requires putting everything together. So we said we are nekadesh like the malachim do, and that they call out to each other. We start out with Nikadesh et Shimcha Ba'olam. We start out with a call to action to call everyone to be on the same page. Just like the Malachim do, they also start out with Vikara Ze El Ze Va'amar, that they call out to each other, and then they say the Kedusha. So the same model of Kedusha that the Malachim do, of this Vikara Ze El Ze, that's included in that which we are copying from the Malachim when we say Nikadesh Shimcha Ba'olam, is also an important part of making Kedusha, is that there's a unity, that everything comes together. So all the parts of Klal Yisrael are necessary for Kedusha. In order to have Kedusha, everyone has their own purpose, and we need to include everyone to have the whole picture. The word shalom and the word shalem come from the same root, the same shoresh, the same word, that you only can have shalem, you can only have shlemus, you can only have completion, a complete picture, when you have shalom, when you have peace, when you have everyone on the same page and everyone together. We have a similar idea in Kriya Shema, when it comes to Yichud Hashem, when it comes to declaring the oneness of Hashem, starts with a declaration, Shema Yisrael, which the simple meaning, translated as, you know, hear, O Israel, I don't know how the O gets in there, but before we declare Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, first we need to have Shema Yisrael, first we have to have Klal Yisrael all together. But and even just a further level, Shema Yisrael is more than just, you know, hey, everybody, listen up. It's more than getting everyone's attention. The word Shema means hear, but also the word Shema means to gather. Like it says in Shoftim, it says in Shmuel, it says Vayishama Shaul Esa'am, when they went to have the war with Amalek. So it says Vayishama Shaul Esa'am. The same. Yes. Vayishama Shaul Esa'am. That Shaul gathered the nation. That the word Shema also means to gather, to have the solidarity of the Jewish nation, and then you can have the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But first there has to be a Shema Yisrael. First there has to be the coming together of the Jewish people, and only once you have that the entirety of the Jewish people are represented, so then you can have the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, then you can move on to appreciating the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's only once we have that accurate picture represented by Hashem's messengers in this world that then we can appreciate that the yichud, the kedusha of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara, Chazal say that there are 600,000 letters.
Repeat that. Only when we are assembled can we appreciate what?
Unity
of Hashem?
Yeah. That only,
what's that mean?
Only once the Klal Yisrael, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says it's a few times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made us his representatives in the world, have made us his counterpart in the world, that we can't appreciate the Achdus of Hashem, we can't appreciate the picture of Hashem's oneness or Hashem's Kedusha, if we have an incomplete picture of if the model that Hashem has appointed is incomplete. We can't, if we're missing something in our own representation of Hashem's yichud, so we can't appreciate Hashem's yichud if we don't have the fullness of that, of the picture that we present of that kedusha or that yichud.
There's a little bit of a circularity here. I'm not sure. It's a chicken and egg situation. I'm not sure if I understand this.
How so?
We don't understand Hashem. We don't understand His unity. We aspire to understand it. We hope that we will understand it. So how do we understand His unity?
I'm not sure I follow the question. If the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an Am, which is meant to be His representatives, that's what it means, that the Mamlechas Hashem, that we are the nation that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when the entirety of Klal Yisrael is doing what they are supposed to be doing, then that brings about the representation of what Malchus Hashem is supposed to look like. And when we have that representation, so then we can have at least the first step in appreciating in Malchusa Da'ara, in down here, the representation of what the Malchus of Hashem is supposed to look like. And from that we can then move on to appreciate the yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That when that there is a certain point at which we're able to appreciate the Shmo Echad, the Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. But it has to come that there's, if we, as long as there's not a Shema Yisrael, as long as there's not a, that the Jewish people have done their part, have that they've come together, then you can't have the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Gemara Chazal say that there are 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah, and if even one of them is missing, so then the Sefer Torah is possible. So if you count the letters of the Sefer Torah, it's actually are not 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. It's not even close to 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. It's closer to somewhere around 325,000 letters, something like that, in the Sefer Torah. So exactly, you know, how to resolve that, the number of approaches, there's, Yaakov Kamenetsky has this idea that let's see, is it possible to, thank you. Yaakov Kamenetsky has this idea that if you there's this thing called Seiruf Eosios, that certain letters are made up of other letters, like, for example, an aleph is made up of a vav and two yuds, and different letters, that a ches is made up of two zions, and in safras, you know, these things are, you can see them. But in any case, is that if you would split up the letters and add up all the letters that are made up of other component letters, that then you would get the 600,000. And we don't really know how to do it, but there's the different ideas, but one more I don't know, call it simpler, but more straightforward understanding, that Chazal say that each neshama of Klal Yisrael is tied into a letter of the Torah. And if a Sefer Torah is missing one letter, it's puzzle. So some, I believe the Maharshal says this idea, that the 600,000 letters being referred to are not the 600,000 letters in the actual Sefer Torah, but they're the 600,000 neshamos of Klal Yisrael. And just as a Sefer Torah, if it's missing one letter, is possible. So too, the Jewish nation, if we leave even one neshama out of Klal Yisrael, so then we're missing the whole picture, that the Sefer Torah of the Jewish people is invalid if it's missing a letter, if it's missing a neshama, so then you don't have the entire picture, you don't have the entire Sefer Torah of the Jewish people. The Gemara in Megillah says that someone who says Yivarchucha Tovim, someone who says that the good should bless Hashem. So the Gemara says it's derech minus. That's heresy. That's that's the approach of a heretic to say Yivarchucha Tovim. Rashi explains because they're not including the Rishayim in praising Hashem, saying that Yivarchucha Tovim, that it should only be the good, the righteous who praise Hashem, by excluding and discounting the Rishayim from also being included in praising Hashem, that's actually heretical, because they're a necessary part of the entire picture of Hashem's praise is also the Rishayim. The Ketores included, the Ketores was made up of 11 different spices, and one of them was the chelbana, which is commonly translated as galbanum. If anybody knows what galbanum is, they can bring some in and we can experiment. But galbanum has a decidedly unpleasant, not sweet scent. However, in the incense, in the ketores, in the base of Migdash, it did not ruin the smell. But the Gemara says that not only did it not ruin the smell, it actually improved and enhanced the overall smell. This substance, which was on its own, was a terrible smelling, was an odor, when it was added into the ketores, actually made the ketores smell better. And the ketores also is invalid without the chelbana. If you leave the chelbana out of the ketores, and you would be makriv that ketores, it would be chayiv misa. If you left one of the ingredients of the ketores out, that was a misapplication of ketores. That was an avoda psula. The inclusion of the rishayim brings out their potential to positively impact the entire nation, and including the rishayim is a necessary part of having the entire picture, including all of Klal Yisrael, is a necessary part of having the entire picture. So just like the Malachim are Vekara Zeh El Zeh Ve'amar, that the Malachim, that they call out to each other and make sure that everyone is on the same page when it comes to being Mekadesh Hashem, and when it comes to Kedusha, there is a Vekara Zeh El Zeh Ve'amar. So too, when Klal Yisrael starts out their Kedusha, there is a bringing everyone together, because Kedusha is only perfected. Kedusha is only performed at its highest level when you have a shleimus, when you have the whole picture, when you have everyone on the same plate, everyone on the same page with a karazel zavi amar, when you have that you've done your best to include everyone. So that's the only point at which Kedusha really is done with a completion.
So what do you call what we do? If the angels are doing their thing, because they have that vision, and they're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, what is it that we are doing when we are reciting Kedusha?
What do you mean? What are we doing?
Answer my question by asking a question.
Why not?
Is there a problem with that?
if we are not there yet, if we don't have this, all the Jews together,
you're saying since at the end of the day, not everyone's included. So it's true, it's true, but we do the best we can. You know, we only do what we can do. We at least get everyone in the room on the same page, and the halacha is that everyone in the room is supposed to stop whatever they are doing for Kedusha. There is a machlokas rishonim if you even stop in the middle of your silent Shemona Esrei to listen to Kedusha, and we paskin, by we I mean the collective we, because the general attitude of halacha is that we follow the opinion that you actually do pause your silent Shemona Esrei to listen to Kedusha and to participate through the halachic mechanism of Shomei Ka'oneh, that Kedusha is something that kind of, whatever anyone else is up to stops in their tracks to participate in Kedusha. And it's true that we don't have all of Klal Yisrael on the same page, and we wish we did, but we at least do the best we can, and that that everyone participates in everyone who's present, everyone who we do our best to get everyone to participate in Kedusha.
We don't respond, we just stay silent, right?
So right, the people are saying who are in the middle of silent Shemoneh Esrei, they just listen, right? The opinion of Tosfos actually is that you should not stop and listen, because Tosfos holds that Shomea Ka'one means not is it just like you fulfilled it by listening, but it's as if you've actually said the words. And if you actually were to say the words, that would be an interruption in your Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore you shouldn't do it. But Rashi argues, the Rambam seems to hold that unless you actually say Amen, then it's not as if you actually said it, and therefore just listening also is not a problem. The general consensus of Halacha is that Shomea Ka'one is not considered a hefsek. Actually, discussion in Halacha, according to Tosos, if you hold Shomea Ka'one as if you've actually said what you listened to, should you not listen to someone else's bracha? Someone makes a shahakol and you're not drinking anything, maybe I shouldn't listen, I shouldn't say Amen, because it's as if I said the hot shahakol, and then it's my bracha levatala. So the Tzlach, the note of Yehuda actually talks about this, but the end of the day, you say Amen, someone else's bracha. But so that's that is the meat of Kedusha, is this, that it is meant to be everyone together, and it does require, like we discussed at length in our introduction to Kedusha, that the entire idea of Kedusha is kind of a harmonizing of everything, of bringing everything together into one picture, that in order to have Kedusha, it has to be inclusive as much as possible, ideally with everyone, but, you know, with that being not possible, or, you know, that being not the state of the Jewish people right now, but at the very least to include as much as possible that everyone should be involved. All right, so we're going to move on to Kedusha itself. Start with Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And before we talk about the actual meaning of the words, but so just talk about the choreography. When we say Kadosh, 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 and when we say Baruch in Baruch Kvod, in
Baruch Kvod Hashem
Imkomo, thank you, that we stand, we go up on our tiptoes. Early sources for this, all the way back to the Heichalos and early Kabbalistic sources that discuss this. But so we have this kind of choreography of Kedusha that we raise up on our tiptoes, and we come back down and go back up again. So we already discussed one idea of this in a previous class. We discussed the idea of the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim says that through our Kedusha, we are elevating the Olamos, that we are spiritually lifting up the entire world. We're bringing the world to a higher plane when we say our Kedusha within the physical world, and we're dedicating the physical world towards a spiritual purpose, that we are bringing the world up to a higher level. And to symbolize this, we lift ourselves up to demonstrate that we're lifting up all of creation with our Kedusha. So we discussed that a little bit in a previous class, so I'm not going to go on about that again, but that was the idea of the Nefesh HaChaim. Somebody look.
My question was, lately, only in the last like year or two, I was thinking, like, people turn left and right. Is that a thing?
I don't think it's a thing, and I mean, it certainly is a thing. People do it, but is it a thing with any real source? I don't believe that it does. I don't do it personally, and it's hard to find any source that mentions that. I don't know if it might be a confusion of the, so the, another thing that people do, and this one has slightly earlier sources, but when they do Hagba, so there's a common practice to point to the Torah when we say V'zos HaTorah, to point to the Torah. Some use their pinky, some with the index finger. So the truth is, if you look in the Nosikim, the Shulchan Aruch, they actually don't say you point, and I don't think it's brought in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah actually brings down from the earlier poskim, they're actually supposed to bow towards the Torah when you say Vizosa Torah. So I don't know if there was some confusion there. For some reason we decided not to bow, and when we say Zeh by the Torah, instead we point, and then when we say Zeh by Kedusha, we've decided to put the bowing there. But I don't know exactly how that developed. It could, you know, could be I'm just ignorant, and maybe it's, you know, a very clear basis for that. But I'm unfamiliar with exactly where it came from.
What do you mean by Zeb by the Torah of Zeus?
Zeus, yeah. So Zeus is just the female conjugation of Ze. Fine. So that was the Nefesh HaChaim has the idea that we're elevating ourselves to symbolize the fact that the act of Kedusha is that we are elevating all of creation. Rav Yonis and Eibshitz has a different idea. He says that it's not just the idea of the Na'anuim, the idea is not just that we go up, but it's that we go up and come back down. And he says that we do this just like the Malachim do. That we do, when, you know, like we said, Kesheb Shemak Dishim Oso, that we're doing our Kedusha is like the Kedusha of the Malachim. That the Malachim, it says, that the Malachim, that they go up and they don't stay up, they go right back down. The Pasuk in Yechezkel, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Yedalad, says that the Malachim are Ratzov Veshov. It says that it describes the motion of the Malachim as Ratzov Veshov, which literally means they run, they speed up, and then they return. But in context there, it's what it means is they go up, they race towards Hashem, upward, so to speak, and then they immediately come back down. And the Rav Yonis and Eibshitz definitely explains this, I believe it comes from earlier Mefarshim, that if the Malachim get too close, if they go too high, that they'll be burned up by the Shekhinah by getting too close, that they're endangering their own existence, and therefore the Malachim, after they go up and they get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they immediately come back down before it becomes too much for them. And it's the same thing for us. And I'll try to just explain for a minute exactly what that means by the Malachim and exactly what it means for us. At Har Sinai, it says that the first two, the different Makoros about exactly how the practically Matan Torah, when Hashem gave over the Aseres Adibros, exactly who heard what when. But the approach of the Medrash, and based on the Pesukim in Tehillim and other sources, that the first two of the Aseres Hadibros, Hashem told the Jewish people directly, and then the final eight were said to Moshe. The people heard Hashem saying it to Moshe, but then they couldn't necessarily make out the words. They heard clearly that Hashem was saying something, and Moshe had to say it over to them, but Hashem didn't say it directly to them. Why? Because what happened was, by the first of the Aseres Adibros, Hashem said the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, said it directly to the Jewish people, and it says that they all died. Why did they all die? Because their neshamos, by becoming so close, the direct exposure, such a close proximity and open exposure to their source, they immediately abandoned their bodies to go to cling to the Shekhinah, and all of them died. And it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the Tal of Tchiyas HaMesim and brought them back to life, and did the second of the Aseres HaDibros, and again the same thing happened. They all died, and their neshamas all came out of their body, hearing the Dvar Hashem exactly mipi Hashem. They all raced out of their bodies, and their neshamas all went straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu again brought the Tal of Tchiyas HaMesim, brought them back to life. And after that, they told Moshe Rabbeinu, it's too much for us. That, you know, for the rest of it, the Hashem will tell you, and you'll tell us, and that'll be enough for us. And the opinion of Chazal, or the Ramban explains, is that Klal Yisrael are actually praised for that. That was a good thing that they said that. But what happened was, when there was this direct exposure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking directly to the Jewish people, such open, direct exposure to their source, the neshama is ripped away from its separateness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and its automatic reaction is to return to that source. We cannot exist on a level of such clear revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and still remain mortal. This is the way that some of Farshim explain what Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, that a person cannot see me and live, means that you can't see Hashem, you can't have a clear awareness of his existence, like someone, you know, sees their, the way the Rambam explains it, like someone sees their friend and recognizes the clear existence of someone else and know he exists and still exist yourself. That seeing so clearly the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu would nullify your own existence. You couldn't exist as a separate autonomous existence from a Kadosh Baruch Hu if you had such a clear and open revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence. So just one second. The Shir Eidas, Rav Bloch from Telz, explains that we have the same relationship as the Malachim in our coming to appreciate Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem's existence, is the same Ratzova Shov, the same going back and forth, that we go back and forth between appreciating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-encompassing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the totality of existence, and there is no existence outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then coming back down to our own autonomy, our own independent existence, kind of moving away from that and living in a world where we live with our own, that we are supposed to see our own level of existence. So one step further about that, but first to...
Moshe was an exception, though. He talked to God face to face.
Right.
So,
which is why Moshe being...
Moshe is the one who God said that you can't see my face, you know, so... Right? He put him in the cleft of the rock and then walked back and he was on my back, not my front. And yet he was face to face. So I'm just pointing out there's some confusion there.
Right, no, that's right. So it's an important point. Even Moshe Rabbeinu said that at the end of the day, since he was still chai, he was still a living being, he still, you know, had a physical existence, that even Moshe Rabbeinu could still, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to hear the word Havashem. That's one of the things the Rambam says exactly how Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah worked is something that we can't possibly understand, but that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to hear directly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But even Moshe Rabbeinu was lo yirinu adam v'chai, as long as you're the Rambam actually in the seventh parak of Shemona Prakim, his introduction to Pirkei Avos, actually talks about this, that he, when he's talking about sort of like the relationship between Midos and Giloy Hashem and the Nevuah, he says that every Mida that a person has, every imperfection a person's Midos that a person has is like a layer, a screen between them and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam there says that each one of those screens is a layer of unclarity, that a person had to be at a high, very high level in the first place to get nevuah, but the levels of nevuah were according to the perfection of the person's personality, and each midah that a person had not perfected was a veil, was a screen, was a mesach between them and that clear revelation of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam there says, and the only person who broke through all of the mesachim, all of the screens, was Moshe Rabbeinu, and all that remained, he says, was one screen, which was a sheer screen, but it was still there, was the fact that he had a guf. At the end of the day, he still had a body, he still was a physical being, and living as a physical being in a physical world, you can't have that mode of existence and recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu absolutely. If you would remove that last screen, then there's no separation between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't be a separate being. You can't be a separate person if you don't have any separation between your existence and Hashem's existence. The Nefesh HaChaim in Shaar Gimel, it's a few prakim, but in Parak Yud Gimel, Shaar Gimel, in Parak Gimel, of Shaar Gimel in Perek Beis and Gimel there, he develops this idea that he says that if we would talk about reality from the perspective of just an absolute truth, he says it would be a true statement to say that we don't really exist. That Ein Od Milvado means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only thing exists and nothing else exists. Ein Od Milvado Mamish means that there really is nothing other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and everything else that exists is only an apparition, is only a construct that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created. It says the Nefesh HaChaim that we have to be aware of that emes, of that reality, of that truth, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is everything and Ein Od Milvado, in order to truly appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's absoluteness. So we have to be aware of that. But at the same time, we have to behave, We have to live as if that's not the case, because we can't function within that reality. That on a halachic level, says the Nefesh HaChaim, it wouldn't work. Such an approach, such a living with such an awareness would lead to incorrect behavior, as he brings as examples, things that there were people of his time who did, that davening times don't really matter, and places of Kedusha don't really matter, a place that has Kedusha or lack thereof, it doesn't really make a difference. It doesn't matter, because they're not really different. At the end of the day, everything's Hashem, and there is nothing else, so the bathroom is just as Kadosh as the Beis HaMikdash, because at the end of the day, both of them aren't, you know, they don't really exist. It's all just whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, and therefore, what does it matter if I daven in the morning or the afternoon, Shacharis at night, and, you know, what does it matter? It's all the same to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because Einod Milvado and everything else is just, you know, a construct, everything else is just pretend, says Nefesh HaChaim. Having mitzvos is the basic predicate. The basic predicate of mitzvos, step one is to have mitzvos is to be in a world which you are behaving as if you have an independent existence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid himself. The fundamental paradox that gives us the context in which we can be servants of Hashem is the state of existence in which Hashem impossibly hid himself. So Nefesh HaChaim explains that's what the idea of tzimtzum is. Tzimtzum brings from different places in Nevi'im that the word tzimtzum means hiding, means for something to be hidden, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid himself, hid this reality in such a way that we can function as independent beings, as if we are separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on the one hand, we have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is the absolute existence and Ein Od Milvado, and that we don't really exist kilape in regards to the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. We're just a construct. We're, you know, like we say in Nisan Tokef, right, Kechalom Yauf, like a passing dream, right, that when it comes to the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, Ein Od Milvado, there really is nothing else. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to live our life with that reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live our life with from the position of appreciating our own autonomy and having bechira and making our own decisions and becoming meaningful participants in a relationship with him. And that can only be done by hiding that existence. And therefore, we have a ratzova show. We have a going up and down, because on the one hand, we have to appreciate this reality. We have to be aware of this reality and know that it exists. But at the end of the day, Shuv l'makom, that at the end of the day we have to come back down and we have to live in the world. We have to live in the state of being of our own autonomous existence. Nefesh Chaim says that's the pshat. In Chazal say im ratz libcha shuv l'makom, that if your heart begins to race, if your heart begins to run, return to hamakom, to this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the context. The makom, says the Nefesh HaChaim, that if you start to get carried away with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with this point that HaKadosh, you're going in what Chazal say, don't seek that which is beyond you. You're getting caught up in that which is beyond you, meaning Hashem's existence, his absoluteness. Shuv l'makom, you have to go back to this point that Hashem at the end of the day is hamakom. He is the context for our existence, but he gave us our own existence. And that's the fundamental paradox that we have to live with, is on the one hand, we have to be intellectually aware that Ein Od Milvado, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, but we have to live our life as if that's not the case, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvos and he wants us to have a meaningful relationship with him. One last point about the Na'anuim, and we'll pause here for tonight. So the Reishis Chachma, one of
what Na'anuim?
This is the going up and down on your toes on Kedusha, is called the Na'anuim. The Reishis Chachma, earlier Kabbalistic Sefer, talks about, he says that we raise ourselves up to show that we want to be Kadosh also. That Kedoshim Tiyu, right? That Hashem says that we're exhorted to be Kadosh because Ki Kadosh Ani, right? This week's Parsha, right? Achremos Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tiyu. That we are commanded to be holy because Hashem is holy. That it's incumbent upon us to remember that the Kedusha, which we are extolling, calling out and announcing, is something from which we're meant to learn and to emulate to the extent possible. It's the difference between a lofty idea and a lofty ideal, that it's very nice to be a philosopher and to talk about holiness and to have this intellectual idea of Kedusha and to just kind of, you know, mentally appreciate holiness. But Kedoshim Tiyu means that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh is something which is meant to bring us to aspire towards that Kedusha. And therefore, when we call out Hashem's Kedusha, we lift ourselves up to show that we want to be part of, we want to emulate that Kedusha as well. That Kedusha is something which is meant to be lived, not something which is just meant to be thought, which is meant to, you know, to be a nice idea, but it's an ideal. It's something to which we strive, and it's something that's meant to be a goal. And the more that we appreciate a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha, is the more that we have in ourselves, the more we've set our own sights higher of where we want to reach, of what we want to get towards, because we want to emulate that Kedusha. We want to be Kedoshim Tiyu. We want to take that Ki Kadosh Ani, the Kedusha that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has, and bring that into a Kedoshim Tiyu, bring that into our own living and showing that Midah of Kedusha. All right, we'll stop here for tonight.